Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Midtown Business Radio.
Lee Cantor here with Stone Payton, another episode of Midtown Business Radio. Stone, how you doing?
Good morning, sir. I am doing well, and I have been looking forward to this broadcast ever since the last time that we checked in with these folks, because this event is coming up. Now, it's so close, Lee, I can taste it.
There you go.
I've been wanting to say that for a week.
You saved that.
Now, this is going to be a lot of fun because we have back in the house. I'm going to give her your job. She has so much energy, so much passion, and she's doing so much for the culinary environment here in the greater Metro Atlanta area. Please join me in welcoming back to the broadcast with Taste of Atlanta, Miss Dale DeSena. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me back.
Well, we are delighted to have you back. Get us caught up. You've been busy in the last week. I'm sure you've probably been doing a lot more actual work than Lee and I have.
Well, we're really, really busy, but you know, this is the week when we get ready to set up and move on site, so we are excited. We are so excited for our 12th annual Taste of Atlanta. Starts this weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, so we are hitting the road tomorrow. We start bringing in tents.
So now, Taste of Atlanta is an awesome food festival here in town, but partnerships are an important component of that, right? You have people that you've been working with for years.
You know, people is the number one component of our festival. I think that, you know, without the people and the companies, the businesses, the teams that we work with, we wouldn't put together Atlanta's premier festival.
Now, you brought with you some interesting folks.
I did. I've got some great people. I've brought along Patrick Bell from the Barrel House and Graveyard Tavern. Mm-hmm. And I've got Wendy Allen from the Cook's Warehouse and Ian Blewett from Ticket Alternative. So these are some great friends of mine and great partners of mine that, you know, without them, we couldn't put together the festival.
So let's start with you, Patrick. Give us a little bit of a feel for what you guys are doing over there at the Barrel House and other.
Well, the Barrel House is the jewel of Tech Square.
Of course it is.
And I should know, right? We are right on the corner, right in front of the Biltmore Hotel. Right where Georgia Tech starts. We're definitely a college hangout at night. During the day, we tend to attract the business people around town. And at Graveyard Tavern on the other side of town, in East Atlanta Village, we're sort of like the dirtier cousin of the Barrel House. So we get to be a little less politically correct on that side of town. Just good food, good times, good people at both places.
Take us through what it's like when you decide to open up a restaurant and you decide to put it there in Tech Square. Because Tech Square, you know, that hasn't always been there, and that environment hasn't always been the way that it is today. What were you thinking about?
You know, the owners just wanted, you know, like I said, a more grown-up version of what they already had with Graveyard Tavern mm-hmm. in East Atlanta. So that's what they were shooting for, with a more refined beer list, better alcohol, you know, selection, and I think they got it.
Refined. You don't often hear that in the same sentence with beer.
And college students.
So what's your backstory? How did you get involved in this business?
You know, I've always cooked, you know, at home. My first exposure to food was the 4-H bake-off. I don't know if too many people know what 4-H is nowadays, but
I didn't know they had bake-offs.
I didn't know they had bake-offs.
They did. Every year you had a bake-off, and you could either make biscuits or you could make a quick bread, which is a bread, and you could make muffins too, that is risen without yeast. So
how old were you?
I was 12, and at the exact same time, as fate would have it, we had just bought our first microwave.
I thought you were going to say,
was
like
roughly,
easy bake oven.
I know. It was the size of a Buick back then.
It's very large.
And it was combination microwave and convection.
Uh-huh.
So we were really,
this is state of the art back in the day, right?
Right. So I made banana nut bread in this convection oven.
Did you use their recipe from the oven, or?
No, I think it came out of the Better Homes and Gardens cookbook, you know, whatever cookbook we all had in our house back in the 80s. And it was so fluffy and beautiful that they almost disqualified me because they thought I had used yeast. So that was my, but I won, and all the girls got mad.
Hooray.
So I won actually the first year and then the next year too, but then I went to high school and I was too cool for 4-H.
Sure.
So that ended that. So you got back into the restaurant world at some point?
Yeah, you know, fast food. We all start in fast food, I believe. Mm-hmm. Back then it was Pizza Hut for me, and so that was – I actually started waiting tables, but I kind of lack certain social graces.
So you were better in the back of the house?
I'm much better in the back of the house. Like, speaking of political incorrectness, you know, we can be a little bit cruder in the back of the house. So that's – there are definite reasons why chefs are chefs and servers are servers. But I've worked pretty much every level by now, 27 years later. So I started when I was 2. And, you know, delis, I was a cake decorator in a grocery store at one point. Frying fish. Gosh, what all have I done? Really high-end, really low-end restaurant jobs.
And the relationship with Taste of Atlanta, how did that unfold?
I was with another restaurant. Can I name that restaurant? Or
do you want to?
What does it rhyme with?
It was West Egg Cafe. We're not on bad terms.
That would be hard to rhyme, wouldn't it?
That would be hard to rhyme. Back then, I was at West Egg Cafe. I was there for 7 years, and so that was my first exposure to it. Back when, before it even moved to Atlantic Station, I think it was still at Lenox, yes, Mall,
right,
in all the tents, right. Back then, back in the day, very small. And then
did you get a chance to actually go? You were the chef at the festival, so you were there.
Yes.
And so you got to experience that firsthand.
Yes. And then it was really just that year to the next year when it moved to Atlantic Station and seemed to grow, you know, by leaps and bounds. It was like two totally different festivals.
Right. And now it's in your neighborhood.
And now it's right outside my front door, which is so awesome. I was actually telling Wendy earlier, this is the first year I've really been looking forward to and excited about Taste of Atlanta because I don't have to transport anything.
Right.
Just show
right
up
there.
To work. That's great. Walk outside my front door, set it up, hand it out, hand out coupons, tell everybody how fabulous we are, and then when it's over, walk back in and clean
now,
up and go home.
As the chef, what's that like when you have the crowds of people? Because usually you're in the back of the house, and right, now you're in the front of the house.
You know, I can be gracious
for those short little
chunks
of time.
Actually, you know, I'm pretty sociable. I just, you know, we have our moments. Chefs definitely have our moments.
When you got work to do, you got a job to do.
Right, you got to put your head down and
right,
and
go, timing
like a laser.
Right,
and so then for festivals like this, you get to dress up, you get to fix your hair, you get to shave. I only shave about once a week. I actually shaved this morning for Dale.
Oh, thank you.
Look at that.
And you know, actually get to meet the people who are eating, because another really cool thing about Taste of Atlanta is that all the chefs are stars there. So whether you've been on television or not, or whether you're, you know, on a banner like I am for Taste of Atlanta at 10th and Spring Street, if you're wondering, everyone who has bought a ticket is there to speak to the people that do it. So every chef, every kitchen manager, even line cook is the star of the show.
Right. You get that kind of rock star experience.
Right.
Now, what are some of the conversations you have with the people, the regular people? What kind of silly questions they ask you?
They always ask you how you get started in it, and I always get to tell the 4-H story and like how...
So is that a true story, or you made that up
story
just for the...
That's not...
Know, that's true.
That's not PR. That's actual true story. 4-H, back in the country, I think we all started in the...
So you think if you didn't win that thing, you would never pursued this? Was it that kind of a seminal moment?
It definitely changed the way you look at food. I always cooked at home.
They made you cook, or you liked to cook?
I liked to cook because otherwise we would have eaten the same 5 meals in the same order every week. I mean, I don't know if anyone else grew up like that, but you know, Monday night you had this, and Tuesday night you had this, and Wednesday night you had the leftovers of Monday night and Tuesday night combined.
Right.
And so I was always trying to throw new things in and different things, and except for the time when my mother went on a Chinese food kick because she thought she was Chinese in a past life. But I digress. So that
That'll
was
be
actually
another show.
That's another show. But
I think what's interesting too, though, if I can interrupt here, is you know, Patrick has been doing this for so long, and he talks about, you know, what the people get to say to him when they come to the festival. But I think it's a really unique experience for the restaurants to almost use the people in the festival as a focus group, that he can test out his menu items. He gets to showcase, you know, three different tastes that he can offer and say, hey, maybe they're new items this year.
Right.
Or,
maybe it's banana nut bread from a microwave.
It will not be banana nut bread. It will be our signature red velvet brownie.
Oh, baby.
You can only get red velvet brownies at one place in Atlanta. Actually, two places, sorry. We do them at Graveyard and the Barrel House. But we do them with cream cheese ice cream.
Yes.
Yes. And then we'll have braised short ribs, and then I'll have a pickled okra stuffed with chipotle pimento cheese, which is also kind of another signature of ours there at the Barrel House.
Doesn't that sound great?
Yeah. But you use an opportunity to share your signature dishes. Do you ever, like Dale was saying, do it as an experimental time, a laboratory?
You don't want to do experiments on that big of a scale. Usually I'll get them back in to the restaurant,
and then you'll
as
experiment
diners,
on them.
And then we'll
mess with
then they're my guinea pig. And those people tend to be also more adventurous diners, people who will go to a food festival and sample, you know, this year over 90 restaurants.
Is there any chefs that you go out and sample?
This year will be the first year that I get to walk around Taste of Atlanta as a attendee on Sunday. So Saturday I'll be there at my tent, and then I'm doing the Big Green Egg grilling experience demo. Then Sunday I'll be back walking around. And, yeah, I mean, I always like to find out what Kevin Gillespie's doing. He and I went to culinary school together.
So. Oh. So is there, like, kind of a camaraderie? Is there, like, a fraternity of chefs? You guys hang out? You go to somebody's house? And
We don't hang out because we're all always working.
Right.
But we do, like, you know, we always wind up at the same places eventually. So it's just like, you know, family. It's like a family reunion more so probably than a fraternity. You see each other at Taste of Atlanta every year.
At these festivals. And now Kevin Gillespie's one of the chefs you're kind of bonded with. Anybody else?
Just anything good. Asha Gomez, pretty much, she could probably cook a shoe and make it taste good.
Do you ever see people that have worked for you as kind of beginner chefs and then their careers taken off?
Oh, yes. Two of them, actually, that I'm proud to
proud birth,
of.
You birthed a couple?
Yeah. Sean Whitmer, who is the executive chef at the Albert now in Inman Park. Mm-hmm. He's doing really well. He and I were on a television show together, too.
What television show?
Last Call Food Brawl on Destination America. I was the judge of the fried chicken portion of this competition, and he wound up winning the entire show.
It was an Atlanta-based show, or was that national?
They go around the country, so this was the Atlanta episode. The other person that I'm really proud of is Chris Flores. He just recently started Ratio Bake Shop. He was my first, actually, Wendy. I was doing a cooking class at the Cook's Warehouse, and Chris was one of their volunteers who was assisting at my cooking class that night. So then a couple of days later, he brought his resume in. I brought him on as an intern.
Right.
I mean, free. Hey, yeah, why you not? Work for free. Got it. And, you know, he was the first baker that we had at West Egg. And he wound up on the line, and then he flew. That's kind of, I don't know if every chef is like that, but I'm definitely, you know, mama bird. I want all of my little baby birds to fly, to
right,
leave
to
the
flourish
nest
and to take their career.
Because that looks good on me as well.
As a leader, right?
Yes.
Well, Dale, it's pretty cool, huh?
It's very cool. And I mean, I think that's what, you know, that's what Taste of Atlanta is about in a way is, you know, Patrick was saying how the chefs, they never get to see each other because they're all so busy in their own restaurants. And then at Taste of Atlanta, they get to come together and see each other. And it's like a frat party with a couple of girls in there. And, you know, but it's really just a fun weekend for the chefs where, you know, they also make money. I mean, we collect taste coupons at the restaurants, and for every taste that the restaurants taste coupon that the restaurants collect, they're paid 50 cents.
Oh,
so it's a real true partnership and a rev share opportunity where they can make some money.
Is there a contest like who gets the most gets a bonus?
They make big money. They don't need a bonus. They make good money.
But that's a real distinction. Right. I don't think most festivals are organized that way, are they?
No, they're not. And, you know, we're asking a lot of our restaurants to be there for, you know, 2 days, or if they're participating Friday night, we're asking a lot of them, and we want them to feel like this is not only a marketing experience for them where they can really work to turn tasters into diners, but really where they can make some money too and have fun. So it's you know, that one time of the year where they look forward to it as much as we do.
Now, do you see an uptick in business after a festival like this where so many people get to sample your wares, and then
Absolutely.
Do you see that some of them go, you know what, I'm going to come back to this place?
Yes, and we'll be at our booth particular, and I'm sure other people will be doing it. We'll be having a little, you know, come back and see us incentive type thing.
With like a bounce back?
Like a 10%.
Uh-huh.
So come see us, you know. I might ask you some Star Trek trivia questions, you know, but you'll get it anyway.
We do the same sort of thing around here. If you come back for an interview, we ask fewer questions.
There you go. Incentive for coming back. I'll be back. So that's what we're doing at the Barrel House booth. You know, I'm sure other people are doing it. And you do see them come back because, like I said, they're adventurous diners. And this thing is so big and so
When you say big, how many people typically attend?
Thousands and thousands. You know, but again, I say thousands and thousands. It's not too crowded, though. I mean, I think that we don't oversell this event like a lot of people do. And it's not a free event. So it really is the quality of the people
it's
that the restaurants
diner you
are looking
want
for. Exactly.
Right.
Right.
And that's what's really important. And I think, you know, from being at Tech Square, this is a real destination. And so for them, I'm here more times than not. Wow, I had no idea you were down here.
Right.
You know, I had no idea they had a nice restaurant down here. Or, you know, I'm going to put this on my map and I'm going to be back. You know, down at Tech Square, not only is the Barrel House is there, but the Spence is there. You know, there are some other great restaurants down in that neighborhood that people are totally, you know, unaware of.
Right.
And again, I think that what we're encouraging with the festival is that people really get out and experience new restaurants, that they don't keep going to that same, be it a neighborhood favorite.
Right. You go to the same little.
There's so many. There's
three
so
restaurants
many.
Every time. You
I'm
know.
Totally right. guilty of that. We, you know, again, chefs rarely eat out. And when we do, we have like the three go-tos. So that's, again, a beautiful thing about Taste of Atlanta. It gets everyone, it makes everyone aware of more than your go-to.
Right,
three.
And you can expand your circle of where you go. I mean, most people have that little circle that they live or work within, and those they have their go-to places within that, and you get to sample how many? There's like 90?
Well, each day there'll be 70 restaurants, but the restaurants will change a little bit from Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. You know, another interesting thing is every year now, I think it's been for the past 5 years, there's a group of 100 people that come from Chicago, and they have their own matching T-shirts, and they're like, oh my God, we're back. I mean, and they all stay at the Georgia Tech Hotel, and they are from Chicago, which is supposed to be like the great food city of the world.
I don't know.
But they're like,
at this place,
Atlanta is the best. They said, we keep coming back every year because the food is so incredible. And that's the great thing is Taste of Atlanta is not your festival food type of tasting.
Right, no, this is
it's
restaurant
real food.
Food.
It's
right.
real great food.
Exactly.
Right.
And
exactly.
that's part of the challenge, because on one hand, you know, year after year, you want to go back and go to the different favorites that you have, but you're also, the best thing about Tasteful Landing is you have the opportunity to go and taste all those new restaurants that you've thought about going to, but maybe never wanted to commit to. So you can, a couple of coupons in exchange for a taste, and you get to try something that you've maybe never had before.
Exactly. And what Wendy does, I mean...
Yeah, why don't you introduce
Ian
Patrick,
first. Okay. Your voice has changed.
Right.
Well, let's go to Wendy, because I think that's a great segue in that Wendy.
Sorry, Ian.
Wendy Allen runs. Oh, I'm sorry, you're coming next.
Ian is
on
deck.
We're going to get to Ian. Ian's going to get the last part. But the whole idea of the Cook's Warehouse is really they bring in amazing chefs, Atlanta chefs, but also cookbook writers, cookbook authors, people from all over the country,
right.
and showcase them where you can learn how to cook from the expert.
All right. Well, this is Wendy Allen. She's with the Cook's Warehouse. Wendy, why don't you explain Cook's Warehouse? I know you got a bunch of stores around town, and talk about what you guys are up to and what your mission and what you're trying to do for folks around town.
Sure. We started our first store in 95, so we've been around for over 18 years now. And when we first started with Dale, we've been with her since day one at the festival. I think we only had one store at the time. And so we've kind of all grown
and then
up
because
together.
Of Dale, you now have how many?
Exactly. We owe it all to Dale.
No. Mary Moore. We love Mary.
We do love Mary.
And how many you got now?
We have four locations.
Four, right.
We are in Midtown is our flagship store in Ansley Mall. And then we've got Brookhaven, Decatur, and East Cobb.
East Cobb now, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's
exactly.
The newest one?
That is the newest crown in the jewel in the crown.
The
yeah.
So now what makes Cook's Warehouse different?
We really strive for very personalized service. You know, we offer, you know, a lot of gadgets, cookware, really anything that you need for your kitchen. And then we also add the education component, which is a little different than what anybody else does. We offer, between our four stores, we have over 800 classes a year, a very robust schedule. We utilize, just like Taste of Atlanta, we utilize a lot of local chefs. Patrick mentioned that he's taught classes with us before. The festival is a great opportunity for me to network with a lot of the chefs around town and recruit them to come in and teach classes. But we also attract national cookbook authors. We've got, you know, great people that are always in our kitchen teaching home cooks how to be successful. And that's our goal. You know, we sell the toys and the tools, and then we teach people how to properly use them so that they're successful.
Well, and I got to tell you, because this one you just mentioned is in my neck of the woods up on Johnson Ferry, and
great.
The staff are knowledgeable.
Incredibly.
I mean, the gadgets, the tools, and all that, they're top quality and they're good products and services, but more importantly to someone like me who likes to cook but doesn't necessarily have the skill set or the knowledge base, the staff there knows what they're doing and knows what they're talking
about. Yeah, that's
about.
The great thing. You come in and you buy a baking pan. You're going to be making a cake. We don't just sell you a cake pan. We also share with you our knowledge and our passion about how to bake that cake and the cake that we baked last week and that sort of thing. We had just 2 days ago on Sunday night, we had a company-wide staff training. We invited in a number of vendors, and everyone went around and we learned, you know, what are the new products coming out for this holiday season. You know, what's the latest and greatest, and we really, really focus on training our staff and making sure that they can not only sell you the greatest cookware, but also teach you how to use it and share their passion for that.
So now, in your role, you help with the classes, right?
I set up, yeah.
All the classes.
Right? So that,
she
I mean, that's,
I
a, you said there are 800. That, I mean,
we
it's not
about,
like it's six.
No,
so,
no.
So you have to have relationships with like every chef in town, huh?
Pretty much. It, you know, we utilize folks from all walks of life. We've got chefs that are, you know, restaurant chefs. We utilize personal chefs, cookbook authors, food stylists, bloggers.
Food stylists?
Knife
food
skills.
Stylists.
What
knife
is a food
skills?
Stylist?
Oh, wow.
Every picture that you see
in a magazine
or
right.
online or in a cookbook.
That was a food stylist.
It didn't just happen.
It didn't just come off the grill, huh?
Well.
It's not even what you think it is.
Right.
So now, what's the most challenging part of your job? Just herding all those cats?
Herding all those cats. Exactly.
Is it to get them to, so that everybody, you're doing classes that your customers want and then getting them to show up and at the right place, right time?
Yeah, connecting with people and, right. and just letting people know about what we offer, because we do have such a breadth of what we do. You know, we're always asking for feedback. The people who teach for us, we don't create, you know, cookie cutter classes and then, you know, dictate what they're going to do. We right. They bring to the table what their expertise and their passion is, and that honestly makes my job, you know.
And then so
really
you're just
easy.
Giving them the platform to share that knowledge.
Correct. And you know, some guidance on, you know, what things that we've right. seen work and are successful, and you know, just provide that
and
venue.
And Taste of Atlanta, the whole partnership there really is to help the people of Atlanta and all over the Southeast know that a store like the Cook's Warehouse exists.
Right.
And to be able to showcase the classes and to be able to put people in those classes. I mean, we're constantly trying to let people know all the different ones that are available, but the people is what we are trying to, again, push. We talk tasters to diners, and we're saying now tasters to cookers.
Mm-hmm. Right.
How do we get these people to learn how to cook at the Cook's Warehouse?
Now, and Dale, as the visionary behind Taste of Atlanta, you've been able to create partnerships where it's a win-win. Like you're doing with the restaurants where you do a revenue share, you're building a sponsorship for a Cook's Warehouse that's going to showcase them in the most positive way. Right?
Absolutely. And again, it's not just, you know, people say to me, we do put together sponsorships and partnerships, and will you send me one? The gold, silver, bronze.
Right, like you know, you get six banners, and
my philosophy. We do not do gold, silver, bronze. We never have. We never will. The whole idea here is really to customize everything that we do so that Wendy and Mary and the Cook's Warehouse is successful and profitable and happy, and it's a win-win partnership.
Right, and it achieves what their overall
objective.
Absolutely,
it's all about their goals. And
right.
Once I know what their goals are, then we can really help them and focus in. Again, 2 years ago, the kitchen workshop started at Taste of Atlanta, mm-hmm. and that was really a new addition. I mean, Wendy can tell you. I mean, we talked about what can we do, and she came up with the idea.
We did. It was a perfect fit for us because it's cooking classes on site. So I think Dale mentioned earlier, it's like, you know, we've kind of taken our business and just moved it on site. This is what we do. This is
right. So it'll be a similar experience than they would get in one of the stores.
Exactly.
But now you get in front of thousands of people who may not have been to the store yet.
Right. I mean, one of the workshops that we're offering this weekend, Matt South, who is our resident knife expert on staff, is teaching a knife skills workshop. That's our most popular class.
So it'll be like Benihana type knife skills?
Yeah.
We've got some Wusthof knives that we're going to be using.
And some protein cutting boards.
Exactly.
And we're going to have, you know, 40 folks under the tent at once under Matt's, you know, guidance, learning how to properly hold the knife, how to properly hold their hands and be safe with it and be effective. And that, you know, that's kind of a foundation building block for being a good cook. If you can you know, safely, and Patrick, I'm sure, can tell you this.
Is there any scars on your fingers?
All 10 fingers, all 10.
The worst scar I have is from an oyster knife, and I don't think
we won't go into
right.
that.
No,
yeah,
no, no.
But we'll hit on, you know, your basic cuts, and then, you know, use everything and make a yummy dish at the end, and everybody hopefully will walk away with a little better knowledge.
And that's what's really great is that, you know, from the people perspective, you know, Wendy's got great audiences at the Cook's Warehouse, and the restaurants bring their audiences. But Ian Blewett, the founder and owner
now you're ready
of Ticket
for Ian?
Alternative, I'm ready for Ian. I'm ready right. for Ian.
Sorry, Wendy.
Because you all know right. what? I mean, the whole idea here is that, you know, we need an efficient and an expert helping us to sell tickets. We sell the majority. A lot of our tickets are online through our website and ticket.
Right.
And Ian can tell us all about that.
Yeah. So we've been working with you now for 7 years, ever since you moved over to the Atlantic Station location where it really started to grow. And then as it's grown even more, we moved over to Tech Square. And, you know, it's been a real pleasure working with you, not to really sing your praises, but I remember the first year, the first wrap-up meeting we did after the first event that we worked with you, and how much attention to detail you paid for not just the experience for all of the people who attended the event, but for all of the people that you work with as well. How can I improve it year after year? And I think that dedication to improving the festival is, you can see that in each year. It's not exactly the same, but it improves every year, and there's things for people to come back to year after year. So I've always enjoyed that aspect of working with a festival.
Thank you.
You know, we try, you know, Ticket Alterna has been around for, we just celebrated our 10th year anniversary, and, you know, we started off servicing a lot of the small music clubs in town, the Smith's Old Bars, the Earls, and the Drunken Unicorns, and that grew to some larger venues like Center Stage, and then last year we picked up the Fox Theatre as one of our venues, and Atlanta Botanical Gardens, one of our big venues that we deal with as well. But where we really tend to excel is with the type of festival that Dale does. That's a one-off festival that's in what we call a non-traditional venue. It's in the streets of Atlanta, but we have to set that festival site up as if it was the Georgia Dome or the Alexander Memorial Coliseum over at Georgia Tech. So there's a perimeter around the festival, because it is a paid event. You have to pay to get into the event, and we have to handle the on-site sales, so we have to be able to accept, you know, credit cards and cash sales for everybody that's buying ticket on-site, and then be able to quickly and efficiently get everybody in that has already paid for a ticket. So once you buy a ticket online for Taste of Atlanta, you then redeem that at the festival entrance for your taste coupons, and then the taste coupons are what you exchange at the different restaurants for your different tastes.
So you're in charge of the taste coupons as well as the entry into the festival?
We're in charge of dealing with the taste coupons at the beginning when they're redeeming their ticket for their coupons, and then once you're inside the festival, there are many other stations, coupon stations, to buy more tastes if you want to do that.
But is that your company as well?
We handle a little bit of the back end of it, but I mean, a lot of that, some of those kind of information stations are people that are asking questions as well as buying coupons.
Right.
So it's a great way for the, you know, the attendees to kind of interact with, you know, anybody who's got a question about, you know, where can they go and what they can do with their coupons or what they can buy with more.
Now, how do you go about marketing your company? That seems kind of an interesting business.
Well, we're lucky, you know, a lot of it's kind of word of mouth. Once you kind of do a good job for one particular event or venue, the, you know, the word gets out. I mean, when the Fox switched from, you know, a large competitor last year.
Because isn't that what it is? There's like an 800-pound gorilla in this.
There is a 900-pound fat, horrible, hairy gorilla that you know, is pretty dominant. And so when a venue like the Fox can switch to, you know, where they can kind of control the messaging themselves and then choose to switch to a different provider and kind of maybe bring the fees down, that's a kind of win-win situation for everybody. And, you know, for Dale, it's not just a matter of being able to, the physical ability to sell the tickets, but it's the marketing that we bring to the table. We have a big reach. You know, we ticket a broad range of events, so people who go to the Atlanta Botanical Garden are also food festival fans.
Sure.
And people who go to the Atlanta Jewish Film Festival are also food festival fans, and the beer festivals that we do. So there's a lot of different events that we do that.
Are you
we
here
can all
only
kind of
in
cross-market.
Only in Atlanta, or
now we're nationwide? We have about 400 venues that we work with nationwide now. So we're predominantly down in the southeast, because that's where our biggest market is.
You're based here in Atlanta?
Yep, we're right across the bridge over at Spring and 17th.
And then how'd you get into this business?
I was in bands, and I built a website called AtlantaMusicGuide.com that I used to promote my shows and kind of like a music hub before Creative Loafing ever had a music hub. And so I was using this website to promote my band and a bunch of different shows, and got into ticketing and went to the venues that I had previously been playing and said, look, I'll promote your shows. I'll, you know, sell tickets for you. And these were the small venues like Smith's Old Bar and the Earl that the 900-pound gorilla didn't want to touch. And said, look, you know, we'll add a small convenience fee on the top. If somebody buys a ticket, great. If nobody does, then no harm, no foul, but you'll get a little extra promotion out of it. And focused on making sure the fee was low and that the customer service aspect was really high, and just build a good reputation. And it's kind of grown from there. And now we're into our 10th year. We've got 35 employees over across the bridge there, and, you know, some notable clients like Taste of Atlanta and the Fox Theater. So.
But then you do this in other markets. How do you market in other areas where you're not physically there?
I kind of call it the sunflower effect. So let's say a promoter in D.C. is looking for a way to sell tickets online, does a little bit of research, finds Ticket Alternative. He starts selling tickets through us in Washington, D.C., and then other venues take note of the marketing that we're doing, the promotion, customer service things that we offer, and it kind of grows from there. So I kind of call it the sunflower effect. You land in a city, and then you get a bunch of other venues around there. Then we land in Arkansas somehow, and we get a few venues around there.
But it's a referral thing, too. You know, right. I mean, I think for all of us and for, you know, every business, it's all about referrals. I mean, Ian will get someone who, you know, I'm a great referral for him. And I'm like, tell him to call me. I'll tell you how great, tell them how great you are. I mean, I think that that's what we're all in business for, is to be able to share the love. And
but how did that group from Chicago, 100 people bought tickets
online
in Chicago?
Mm-hmm.
So do you help facilitate, like, was that something that grew out of your efforts?
It's a Chicago accent.
Yeah,
but we have, you know, one of the things we offer is a call center that's open 7 days a week. And nowadays it's easy to buy tickets online. So we're fielding these calls of people who have questions about, well, what do I get when I get there? What do I find? Where do I go?
So you're like kind of customer service.
As 7 days a week, you know what I mean? Which means that Dale doesn't have to staff a customer service line 7 days a week to answer those questions. And all of my staff get to come out and enjoy the event and learn about how it works. So.
Do you train them in your accent or that?
You know, they kind of like that southern twang, you know what I mean? So,
what's the backstory on the accent? Where's that from?
So I'm originally from England. My my mum was American. She moved to England and married and stayed. And I had two passports growing up and finished college in England and moved over here and never went home. So
now, do you do...
Except a visit.
Except
a
visit.
A ticket work in...
No, I don't eat grits.
No, well. Do you ticket work in England?
No, I didn't. I was just in college over there and then moved over here. So I got into ticketing completely over here.
So now is that your primary business, is the ticketing business, or you're still in the band?
It's my only business, yeah, no. I have twins that are 3 years old, so I play some pretty rocking version of Twinkle Twinkle Little Star. But I know a nice new version of Incy Wincy, you know, Spider, but yeah, no more bands.
So now how do you, when the event's going on and your job's kind of done right after they bought the tickets?
Not exactly. So, while Patrick's out enjoying all the food and they're enjoying all the cooking classes, we're running around in the background. We have about 25 staff on site that get there probably 7 in the morning, set up all the main gates, make sure all the infrastructure's in place. So that, because I mean, we get, you know, there's rushes of people. There are thousands of people coming, and a lot of them decide to all turn up at the same time. So we need to make sure that we can get them in quickly and efficiently and on to enjoying the food as quickly as possible. So
now, is there a part of your business that helps her take that data that you capture from the ticket buyers?
Yeah, and that was a big part of what we brought to the table compared to how they were doing it before. I mean, being able to look and see, all right, well, how many tickets am I selling in this hour? Where are these people coming from? Looking at the data.
Right,
zip codes of where people are coming from. That's huge for when they go back and market, because you're marketing not just to the Atlanta area, but to outside the Atlanta area too. This has become an event that's pretty big nationally. Oprah named it as one of the top food festivals to visit last year. So, you know, it's really being put on the map.
Now, how do you, so your ticketing, you know, the actual transaction is just a small part of this. I mean, it's an important part, but this kind of data seems equally as important.
Yeah, the data is really useful. I mean, at the end of it, when you look and see where these people are coming from and how they're buying, and, you know, being able to efficiently, you know, look and see how many tickets have I sold on site, were they general admission, were they VIP tickets, and having all that data in one place is key.
But I think, too, what's really important is the serviceability, that when people come, we try not to have long lines. So we really have enough people to really push these people.
Right.
Scanners. It's very high tech. I mean, it's, you know, you get your ticket scanned and in you go. You get a wristband and you go get your taste coupons. We try to keep it fast and moving.
We're bringing a portable version of the same infrastructure that they have over at Bobby Dodd Stadium that gets 60,000 people in on a Georgia Tech game day to Taste of Atlanta, because we've got nearly that many people coming in over the course of the weekend. So
now, is this the largest festival that your company does?
It is one of the largest, yeah. It's one of the most fun. Tastes good.
Now, when you're doing it in an outside market, do you have other people that go to those?
Yeah, so we will send people off to different events around the country as we need to.
But they're coming from Atlanta?
Yep, pretty much, yep, typically.
And how many events do you do a year?
10,000-15,000. I mean, we have 400 plus venues. I mean, you think about a venue like the Fox, they've got a show on nearly every night. So it's several thousand a year.
Cool. So now, Dale, the event's this Friday?
It is. Yep. It's this Friday. We're expecting some beautiful weather this weekend. Might be a little chilly, so bring a coat.
Tickets are still available.
That's right. Tickets are still available.
Is it possible to sell out where you wouldn't sell anymore?
We're hoping. Again, we want the experience to be a good one.
Right. You don't want it to be overly crowded,
right?
You got to balance that.
Correct. And we will be looking at that all the way up to Friday to be able to say no tickets will be sold on site. Right now, there are tickets still available.
And we appreciate you bringing these partners. And it's kind of refreshing to see that you approach this festival as, where can I create win-win situations with not only for the person who's attending as the customer, but it's for your partners and vendors and everybody involved.
For everyone involved. And that's just it. I mean, if you look at, you know, our program, you look at our festival, seriously, they're all people that we like to work with. We want to make sure that it's a win-win.
And if people wanted to learn more, you can go to tasteofatlanta.com.
Correct. That's good.
And to learn more about your business, where would they go for Barrel House?
BarrelHouseATL.com.
And TicketAlternative.com.
.com
and Cook's Warehouse.
CooksWarehouse.com.
Good stuff. Well, thank you, Dale.
Thank you. Thanks.
Bringing this all together. And good luck this week at the festival. It'll be an awesome, awesome weekend.
Thank you so much.
This is Lee Cantor for Stone Payton. We will see you all next week on Midtown Business Radio.